The Open Book on cliffcentral.com.
I came across such a wonderful quote this week, nothing to do with our topic. So I'd like to absolutely just share this with you. It says, Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. This was said by T.D. Niles. I love it. Let me say it again. Christianity is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. And what I really love about this is the fact that, you know, it really just kind of explains that there is no difference between you and me. I in no way think that I'm better than you. I just feel like I found something that I would like to share with you. And obviously, it's up to you whether you want to take it or you don't want to take it. That is what the Open Book is based on. So yeah, a warm welcome to this Thursday morning, and to all of you who are not necessarily listening to us live, but are listening on the podcast. Really, your support is absolutely valued right here on the Open Book. My name is Lois Obala, and for today, I would really love to just encourage you to give us a call if you're listening live, or to at least just take this number down, because I promise you that at some point today, you're going to want to call in and you're going to have questions. Our theme is tradition versus religion. I'm sure you already probably have questions just based on that. Here is the number. It's 0861-555-189. It's very easy. It's 0861-555-189. So yeah, give us a call. Ask your questions. I've got some wonderful guests who've been through some experiences and really know a lot about this topic that's going to be coming up. Alternatively, you can send us a WeChat. And the WeChat ID is Cliff Central. If you ask a question there, I'll make sure that I just kind of, you know, take it around the room. And we're going to get the best answer for you that you possibly can. Let's get into it. Now, today's topic is one that I believe a lot of us, more especially African Christians, have struggled with at some point in our Christian walk. As a Xhosa man, which is a culture that is deeply rooted in ancestral reverence, it is a huge challenge to live out my culture without worshipping and bringing honor to my ancestors. That is because this practice is so closely aligned with my identity. I can imagine that it is probably similar to Arabs and Islam, the religion. Like you can't adhere to the traditions of Arabs if you don't follow the teachings of Islam. As a matter of fact, in most Arab countries, Islam is not only a tradition, but the law of the country. Now, when it comes to me, if I do not call upon my ancestors for guidance, support, and ask them to turn the tide of favor, there's very little that would define me as a Xhosa man. I can easily be defined as to having lost my identity and to be seen as an outcast or even an embarrassment to my family. And when I say family, I mean those who are alive and those who have died. According to Xhosa tradition, my bad and good luck solely depends on the decisions of my ancestors. I actually checked out one of our very own South African website, which is southafrica.net, and it states the following. Right on the top, when you click on Xhosa, it states the following. It says, Xhosa beliefs dictate or order authoritatively that people turn to a diviner or healer when needing advice on how to deal with the spirits, help with illnesses, or ward off evil from unnatural sources. You guys still with me? So, but please, yeah, don't get me wrong. I love my culture. I mean, I believe that we have one of the most beautiful languages. I love our dishes like umngusho, umphokoqo. Some of you know some of these. Umfino, umqa, amakhewu, which has now sort of become, it's not only just a Xhosa thing, but amakhewu has become natural. I mean, national. And even umleqo, I mean, those are dishes that I grew up with and I absolutely still love today. I love watching older Xhosa women, mabexhentsa, which is our traditional dance, in their heavy dress. Just imagine them in their matching turban and colored dots decorating their faces. I'm also always in awe of the immense wisdom that is shared by amaxhego, which is the elderly men, when we as men gather enkundleni, which is the meeting place for all things that are family related. But when I'm told to speak to my ancestors and to practice a sacrificial offering to them, I feel like I'm dishonoring my God. And the God that I'm talking about is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God who clearly states that I should worship no other God but Him, the God who gave us or gave me Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator, not ancestors, but Jesus for me is the only mediator and reconciler to my God. Yet, In all of who God is, I know that He loves me for who I am, for the way that He has made me. So surely then, there must be a way for me to live out my tradition in a way that is pleasing to Him. In other words, like, there must be a way for me to live out who I am as a Xhosa man in a way that is pleasing to Him. I mean, after all, He's made us to be different for a purpose. Yeah. So that's where I am. And that's why I thought, you know, I want to do this theme and this topic, a tradition versus religion. So if you also just you've got some questions because you really love who you are and really just like what you're about, and then I think, yeah, this is definitely just the show for you. So stick around, and hopefully we can get some of those questions answered right here on The Open Book.
The Open Book on cliffcentral.com.
I have a wonderful family of brothers. One of my brothers is actually here today on Cliff Central. What's up, fella?
I'm good. How are you?
We're going to have fella on a bit later. He's got a great story to tell that I hope is going to set many of you free of a lot of things. So I also have a sister. There's my mom. I have cousins. I have aunts. And I have uncles. And, you know, these are the people who have really been in my life for most of it. They've raised me. They've guided me. They've really been my anchor just through difficult periods in my life. Nothing different, I guess, probably to most families. And I love and respect them immensely. But, I'm not talking about you, okay? So don't worry. I have a different belief system to most of them. I'm a Christian who doesn't believe in ancestral worship or izinyanya, as I'd mentioned that before. I do believe in the supernatural, so I'm not on some, yo, whatever. You know, I do believe in the supernatural, but I don't believe that those spirits that they are consulting, because I do believe that there are some spirits there, one way or the other. I don't believe that they're necessarily my ancestors. So when we had a family meeting just recently about the next pack of rituals that have to be performed, I made it a point to let them know that I, as a committed Christian, can't take part in any of it. I'm not sure whether that was the right thing to do. Maybe I just should have said, okay, I'll be there to support, but I can't take part in any of the rituals. But hopefully Pastor Dikoza, who's going to come on a bit later on, can actually kind of give me an answer in terms of that. Matthew 6 verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other." I believe at the same time, when it comes to spirituality, we have to take a side and then stick to that side, because we can't serve two masters all at the same time. And so, it was really just from that standpoint that I decided not to take part. But I still have a lot of questions that I need answers to, because I want to follow my culture, you know, in a way that I want to follow my culture and be proud of it, but obviously not at the expense of my religion. So who better to answer those questions than Pastor Dikoza, who's the founder of Dikoza Ministries and the Ubuntu in Christ Bible Church. He was originally affiliated with the Rhema Bible Church in Randburg, and had served his community for 20 years. That is a very long time. I remember when I first started going to church, Pastor Dikoza was there.
Yes.
doing some of the services. And you guys had a special service, I remember, at 2 o'clock, which dealt with culture. Now, aside from serving on various church boards, Pastor Koza also plays a very prominent role in the community. He is among the pioneers of the Cultural Day celebrations, which seek to celebrate diversity alongside Christian teachings. He's also the author of 2 books, and we're going to talk about those books a bit later. And the books are called God of Diversity and God Loves Culture. Pastor Dikoza, a very warm welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I really think that there is no one who we could have had in who could have spoken better on this subject. So we're really honored to have you, sir. Thank you. Before we get into culture, culture and religion, when I called you a few days ago, you said, you know, I'd like to obviously just speak about this, because it may sound like, because the way that I was talking about it, it's as if culture is going, you know, like it's culture versus yes, religion. But whereas you'd find, I mean, you had a wonderful way of explaining that. Do you want maybe just give us an explanation on that?
Yeah, no, I was just saying that especially in South Africa, there's a problem when we talk about religion and culture. We separate the two,
yeah.
But it is because of the missionaries who deliberately demonized the African culture. So as we became Christians, we associated becoming a Christian and rejecting our culture.
Mm.
So as a result, every time the word religion and culture is mentioned, it's as if when you are religious, you are cultureless. But all religions, they have got cultures.
Okay.
In other words, nobody doesn't who doesn't have culture. It's either you have abandoned yours and taken somebody else, or you stick with yours. But because of the history of colonization, the African people were subjected to many problems that they felt that their culture is nothing. So as a result, even after 1994, we're still struggling to find ourselves.
Mm.
So I think programs like these are very good for us to interact.
Absolutely.
And put things into perspective. Because if you look at your Jews,
yes,
their religion is also tied to their culture.
Yes.
Actually, in the book, God Loves Culture, I quoted one of the books, Jewish Phenomenon.
Mm.
They say their success is based because of religion and culture. What happens with black people is that we go to church, we sing Western songs, we speak in English, then we go home, we try to be African, we go to work, we find ourselves in an institution that does not accept us.
Mm.
Whereas in other cultures, it doesn't happen. They speak English at home, they speak English at church, they speak English at work. So there's no confusion.
So it's a lifestyle,
it's
and
a
it's
lifestyle.
Easy to live it out. But obviously, yeah. I think a lot of the times the problem may arise because when it becomes a lifestyle, you can actually forget about the fact that it is also about relationship. You know,
it's
so
true.
So a lot of people say, "Oh no, I'm a Christian," as if you know Christianity is a culture. Like I was born a Christian. Like no,
there's nothing.
You were
like
born.
No,
you were born what we are. Pastor, before we get into it, I want to just ask you this question. So, I usually come across people who say, well, the Christian religion was brought to us, you know, sort of to colonize Africans into so that the Western world could come in. And then take over. And the best way was to, you know, is to gate people by their faith. How do I answer such questions?
No, it is true.
It is true.
It is true.
Okay, that's my first point.
Because
it is true.
When the missionaries came here, religion or Christianity in Europe was on the decline.
Mm.
But they revive it when they came to Africa. They use it for commerce, for conquest, and to colonize us. Because even in the Bible, you see that when you colonize a nation, you take their land out, you take their language, you take their food. You remember Daniel and Abednego in Babylon?
Yes.
What they did, they changed their names.
Yes.
Then they gave them food that the king was eating. This
yes.
is what has been happening all along. Not all missionaries, but some of them colluded with those who wanted to colonize us. That's why they had a missionary to start a church and a school.
Oh.
So they teach you on Sunday, then they also teach you on Monday.
Wow.
But the teachings did not include our African value systems. So with time, we were producing people that when they came from school, they were anti-African culture.
Wow.
That's how we got to be in what we are today.
So then, Funeso, how do we fit, how do we now fit our culture into our current Christian state, if I can actually say that, because I know that because I go to Rhema church, you know,
yes.
we actually used to have culture. I think we still do. This weekend,
yes,
is a culture Sunday. So how do we now bring it back, you know, to make sure that our the way that we worship God is also, how can I say it, It also represents who we are in Christ, if
yes.
I can say it like that.
I think we need to redefine Jesus, who Jesus is. I think there's a lot of problems when we talk about Christ, because a lot of people see Jesus as a white person.
Well, it's painted like a white.
That's a problem. If we don't deal with those images, we will forever struggle. We need to look at Jesus, what he stood for, so that we take him away from those who used him to colonize others or to oppress others. Because Jesus said, go in Matthew 28:18, said, go and make disciples, not colonize.
Okay.
Of all nations. So in other words, the gospel is for everybody.
Yeah.
But it depends on the one who's bringing the gospel. If he's got an ulterior motive, he will end up not discipling, he will colonize people. So in our case, you can see that we have been colonized more than being made Christians.
Mm.
So I think African people after 1994, we should start to define ourselves not by other people's standards.
Mm.
For instance, if you take things like honeymoon.
Yes.
And engagement and ring, they are not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yet black people don't question that.
Hmm.
But they will question if the family says, let's slaughter a cow to family reunion. Immediately, Christian will say, no, I don't do this. But honeymoon, we do it. So you see,
no, you're right.
We have taken the gospel and the Western culture as one.
Okay.
So we need to separate that so that Jesus must be Jesus. Because Jesus loves you as you are. It is his word that must determine what you should do and what you shouldn't do.
Mm.
Like you just mentioned about your family rituals.
Yeah.
I don't know what it involves, but some family rituals don't have any demonic activity.
Okay.
I agree with you. If you sit down with a family and they explain to you that we're going to do this, and they then say, no, this I can't do because of this.
Okay.
But some of it is good.
But now, Mfundisi, what in the case where, for instance, it is about not necessarily celebrating those who have died, but it is about, you know, doing something like, for instance, like with Xhosa, we have things like where umuntu yakhatshwa or uyabuyiswa, which means like after they've died, there's a cow that accompanies them, so you speak to them, we slaughter,
yeah,
and then that obviously is seen as sacrificial. I mean, what about, do I eat that food, do I drink that drink that now goes around after it's been to Engundleni, for instance? What do I do? Because also I don't want to misrepresent my Christianity, because there are people out there looking at me and saying, okay, cool, well then, if he can do it, maybe so can I as well. So what do I do in that sense? Do I take part in some and not in some, or does me being there mean that I'm taking part in any case?
No, I think the challenge is when we become Christians, we don't seem to explain this thing properly to our families. We wait until these things happen. I will encourage African Christians that when you become a Christian, sit down with your family and explain to them that I've received Jesus. There are things that I won't do because of 1, 2, 3 beforehand. But it will be difficult for your parents to say, let's go here, utawu, ibazo tu atelele.
Yeah, and of course. And I think also that does, in a way, also misrepresent
it does
Christ. Because,
yes,
like, you know what, lo Yesu lona is
since
so disrespectful.
Yeah, since,
you know,
I know
what
Jesus.
I mean? They think they are higher now than,
yes,
we are. So it doesn't minister to people in any way.
Yet I know African people don't have a problem with Jesus. I must stress that.
Yes, no, you're so right.
No, Jesus never oppressed nobody. He never killed black people, nothing.
Yeah.
It is the people, some people who misrepresented Jesus, that have created this. So we can fix it.
Mm.
Yes.
I mean, even Gandhi, Gandhi once said, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase this,
yeah,
I don't remember exactly what it said. It said, you know, I think Jesus was a good man, but the problem I have is with his followers.
He said the whole world would be Christians if it was not for Christians.
There we go.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And yet, you know, and yet Christ, when you say Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. He didn't say go and colonize.
No.
Go and colonize the world. Yeah. And how we are defined as Christians is by the way that we love others. Because Christ said that a new commandment I give to you is that you love one another as I have loved you. This after washing their feet. And then it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. So the best way that you will represent me is by you loving others. So yeah, it's a hard place to be.
But the reputation that Jesus had throughout the Bible is that he was a friend of sinners and tax collectors, which we are no longer famous of that.
Yeah,
we have created an exclusive club now. Most churches, we don't accept. You go to certain churches, only certain type of people must attend.
Wow.
Yeah.
The club is supposed to be exclusive, but the church is supposed to be inclusive.
Yes.
You know, you never know whether you're going to get in or not. Hey, fella. Mm-hmm. But everyone should know that the doors are open.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, well, I'm going to go into a song and we're going to speak to Pella after this. Speaking about that, that's why it breaks my heart sometimes when Umtu says, Yomna, I don't like going to that church because every time I go there, you know, I've got to dress a certain way and whatever. It's like, no. I mean, coming back to our, you know, like to our cultures, but we should be celebrating who we are. So the church is the one place where you should actually be seeing different types of people dressed in different ways and even worshiping God in a way that is, you know, like that is appealing to them. If you look at the disciples, they were, those guys were different, you know. I'm sure there was one wearing a suit and there was one was wearing a pair of shorts and walking barefooted, you know. You had Peter was macho man. You know, Peter's the one who took out the sword and tried to slay the, you know, the soldiers. Or actually did slay, he did cut off the soldier's ear. And then you got, you know, like you got Peter, who's a bit girl, who seems like he's a bit girl-ish, you know. Like, you know, like he's very like, like, you know, very soft. Or to speak, you know, he calls himself, you know, the one that Jesus loves. But yet all these people, you know, belong to one crew. You have tax collectors. You've got Judas.
Yeah.
And you've got people who've got nothing. So... so yeah, you know, that is who we are, and I believe that, you know, we should absolutely be representative of who we are in
and
Christ.
And represent Christ properly.
Represent Christ properly.
Yes.
So I guess it's everything we should be, apart from those things which, you know, like which put us above the Word of God. We're gonna come back. We're gonna come back and speak to Pastor Dick Khoza a little more. I'm gonna go to a song and then I'm gonna speak to my brother Pelo. He's got a great, great story to tell, and he's been through some traumatic experiences and gotten out of them. Well, this is what he tells me right after this. So stick with us right here.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com.
I've got a question here from Sally. I don't know Sally, but yet Sally says, Vunisa, I'd love for you to hear this because I'd like an answer from you. I thought we'd kind of answer this, but clearly it probably didn't come out properly. It says, help, I'm a Zulu guy. My girlfriend is a Christian and doesn't want to acknowledge our ancestors. It's really upsetting as I'm not a Christian.
Yeah, I think that is a wrong combination.
Unevenly yoked?
Yes.
Would you say?
Yeah, I think religion is one of the things that people must discuss before they get married. It should be one of the agenda.
Yeah.
Because once you are married and you don't believe in the same God, it's a problem.
It's a problem, man.
Yeah.
There's
no way they will get it right until one of them convert to the other.
True.
Yes.
And what does the Bible teach us in terms of, so what if, for instance, you got married and you never did that? What happens then suddenly in the marriage, one of you converts to Christianity and your partner's not Christian? So let's say... this is Mr. Zulu guy here, for instance, got married to this woman. They were both believers in the, you know, like in the Zulu ancestors, or at least his ancestors, and then she converted to Christianity. What would you suggest in that sense?
Well, in that sense, they need to trust God, the one who got saved.
Yeah.
Need to trust God to help him with the situation.
Yeah. I think
but if it doesn't work, the Bible says, Paul addresses it in 1 Corinthians. He says, if the unbelieving wife wants to go a man, let them go. But the two cannot coexist unless if they can live respecting each other, which can be problematic. Okay. Because the problem is when now, if a Christian is called to go and consult ancestors and she says no. And if you are a woman, then it becomes worse because you're supposed to be obedient to the husband.
Yeah.
There's been such cases where God has also moved on behalf of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why before people marry, this should be the issue to be discussed.
No, you're right.
Yeah, but if they're not married, then they mustn't even marry until these things are resolved.
Yeah. I met a guy at the airport. Actually, we traveled together to East London, you know. And he says, so I asked him, I said, yeah, man, you know, how are things at home? And he said, well, my wife, you know, I've actually just been through a divorce. I'm like, why? He says, no, my wife went to this church, you know. And he gives me the name of the church, and so there, after he got converted, he said that he has to now leave me because I'm not, you know, I'm not a born again Christian. And I told her, I said, you know, well, truly that, you know, like that can't be right, you know, just because you're a Christian and I'm not, now you want to, you know, you feel that it's time for you to go. So what happens then in the sense where the one doesn't convert and then the one who's a believer now wants to leave, is that even right?
That's why Paul says, as a Christian, you cannot say, let him or let her go. You must trust God that he must also have that space. Sometimes God can move supernaturally.
Yeah.
But in a situation where the person keeps saying no, no, it's a no. If he leaves, the Bible says it's fine.
Yeah, but that's if the person leaves. But yes. I don't think that, I mean, like, this is my view now, but I don't think that you should leave because the other person is not believing.
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
If the marriage can function with the values that are not necessarily attached to religion, it's fine.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I know a great pastor. And his wife has been Muslim. She's never, you know, she's never converted. And I mean, how many years they've been married? Like 30 years. And he says, you know, so it's like, you know, where do you stand with this? And he'll be like, well, I believe that one day,
yes,
she will, you know, one day she will see the light. But I will love my wife because
that belief is good.
Yeah. So I think, you know, just anybody listening to us out there, don't be like, now, just because you have found Christ in the interim, that you must now leave your family because they're not believing. I think also in that way, that doesn't minister to people out there.
Yeah, even God doesn't say so.
No.
Because God loves people. Maybe you could be the first person in the family. So if you conduct yourself right, then the people might convert.
Absolutely. Thank you for the emphasis. Now, in the middle of last year, 2014, my youngest brother, Opelo, was told that there was a calling on his life to be Isangoma. And so the song that I played earlier on, which is Itemba, is a song that Pelo recorded together with, as part of Joyous Celebration. That was for Joyous 17. And so after receiving this word that he has a calling on his life to be a Sangoma, he made the decision to leave Joyous Celebration to follow this calling. 9 months later, after Pelo had gone through all the rituals, he hung up his Sangomaship, for the lack of a better word, and is now a committed Christian. But obviously it's still a walk.
Yes, of course. They always say deliverance is you don't get delivered now and everything is perfect. Now it's a journey.
It is a journey.
Yeah,
through anything. Pelo, thank you so much, man, for really just coming and just chatting to us. It's the first time you're actually going to be speaking about this.
Yes, a part of me is a little nervous.
That's fine.
You know, with interviews, any interview, I become a little, you know, nervous. But yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can you just give us, at least, like, you know, the people listening right now, just the process of how you got to the, what is it called, to the Sangoma school, you know?
Utwasa.
Utwasa, yeah. How did you get to
Utwasa? Well, they always mention these things as to how, like, the not being able to walk stuff. I always heard about these things, and I never knew exactly what they were talking about.
Where were you? Sorry, just give us this the full story.
I had gone down to PE for a funeral, and after the funeral had been done, I think on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
The previous night I started to lose my mind and you know, and say all sorts of things that which I didn't understand and I can't even recall. And the next morning when I woke up, I mean, parts of my body weren't working, and you know, I was still like just seeing things in jail, you know. And I think a part of me could understand that this is not really like some medical condition that could be just, you know, taken away just like that. It's just, it's
doctor.
A bit, yeah, it's a bit, it just seemed a bit deeper than that, you know. So that's when I was taken to go see someone who said to me that, you know, that's, this is what it is. And I really was scared. I mean, how can you, if anybody has never told you about that before, I mean, how do you react to such a thing, you know? You sort of become numb. You don't know what to think at that moment. That's when the beginning of everything happened.
So you didn't go. So you didn't go to the hospital to go check your condition out. You went straight to.
Look,
so,
I
don't like the English words, because which doctor just
sounds
like
dodgy.
Yeah, it sounds like negative.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I did go. I did go to Ugqirha, a proper doctor. Well, if you want to call it
mm-hmm.
a proper
Western
doctor, a Western doctor, yeah. Who had said to me, I have a body flu. So yeah, and I'm like, what? You know what I mean? And then he gave me some flu injection, which really didn't
really
do
help
the job. Yes.
So what happened? I mean, what happened from there after you heard from the African doctor? That's a much better word.
Yes.
You know, from the African doctor, go to when you have a calling, you're good to us.
Well, obviously, after everything has been agreed upon, then you go through certain processes. So that you can finally at the end get your landukiyako, you know,
mm-hmm.
To say that you are a full sangoma. I didn't finish, actually, by the way.
So as a matter of interest,
yes, Munis.
What happened to the family when this thing happened? You didn't consult your family?
I did.
Oh, okay.
I did. Obviously, I wasn't doing this thing on my own.
Yeah.
No, obviously. So, I mean, there were family members that were involved in it, who had a bit more knowledge about the whole tradition thing.
Well, it was kind of mostly family who suggested, because Upelo, you know, living in Johannesburg, he didn't really know anyone down there, yeah. in terms of that side, in terms of the African, you know, culture. And it was family who was, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, our family is a Christian family. And we grow up in a Christian environment, but we never really understand what being a Christian is until you go through a certain journey or encounter where you feel like you're meeting
Christ
Jesus.
Himself.
Yeah, Christ Himself.
Yeah.
And I think for me that experience really for me. I mean, before I was like sort of just waltzing through life I'll see where everything goes.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a Christ out there, but I really didn't understand and I sing all these songs and they sort of not really have a meaning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me, it's like, yeah, I know He's my Lord and Savior. I know He's my everything. But I think for me, what I took out from that experience is that now these songs have meaning. You know, I can sing them from the heart.
Because I guess you've had a real spiritual.
Yes.
A spiritual encounter both ways, you know, when you were there and also when you came here. And I think that's why it's just so important in whatever that you take up or in whatever that you're born into, that you don't just say, you know, like you don't sing. I mean, like you don't see God really as the God of everyone, but that you get to experience Him for yourself, that you actually pray that, Lord, may I know You.
Mm.
May yeah. I personally know You, because yeah. when you don't have that, because Christianity is not so much. I mean, yes, it is about it is about all of us, but it's very much more personal. And when you don't have a personal encounter, you're gonna be pulled to all sorts yeah. of directions, mm. Trying to find a purpose. Can you? I mean, like, obviously, I don't know how much you can speak about it, and I don't want you to get into trouble. because I think at the same time, you know, like, we need to obviously just still respect those who are still in it,
yes.
as much as we don't believe it. But I believe that respect should always be number one.
Mm.
Are there any of those things that you want to share that kind of happened to you in that experience? And what made you come out of it, you know?
Look, I had I had a lot of people that that were praying for me. I, you know, from people from everywhere, praying for me. I think for me it was the realization of I just felt like I was drawing further and further from mm-hmm. Christ. And for me it was an uncomfortable feeling.
So you still felt, I mean, like, so through all of this you still called yourself a Christian?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Amazing.
Yeah, still indeed. I still, you know, but for me, when I look into the situation now, and say to myself, there's that sentence people like, it's like, he's always there, you know, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. And for me, I understood only after everything.
And who told you this? I mean, like, were the people there telling you this, or... was this out?
Oh, no. This has nothing to do with the inside.
Cool.
This is. You know, that Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. And some people do mix the two.
You know, they
do mix the two. But I realized for myself and for my faith that I'm not really quite comfortable with mixing the two. I think that was the deciding point for me of like, okay, you know what? No. You know, this is not my path and this is not who I am.
Yeah. I mean, like, why would you? Yeah. You see, that's the thing. I think what we've tried to do is that we try to mix it, to make it seem as if it's okay to sort of go both, you know, to sort of go both ways. When it's not okay, and you will only know not by what we're telling you, but really by just how much you open this book. This is called the open book. By how much you open this book, and you actually learn from it. You know, you put this as your constitution, and you say, you know what, everything that I am, I will learn about. But this, you know, like, but anything that rises above this word that is in the Bible, I will not. You know, like, I will not follow. And so I guess you have to make a decision also at that moment whether. Are you going to follow Christianity, or are you going to follow through with, you know, like with the spirituality, the African spirituality, if I can say, you know, if I can put it that way. What were the things that sort of rang that bell and said to you, you know what, this is probably not for me. This is not right.
You mentioned something earlier on about serving two gods,
two masters.
And we sing the song, I will serve no foreign god. Yeah. You know, for me, I felt like there's only one God, you know, and he's a jealous one, you know, and I could just feel that. Just something, I mean, for me, I think I'm the last to judge anybody right now. And I think coming from the experience that I came from, I like that I'm learning a lot of things so that when people want to know what it is about, like being Christian and being strong or all these things or coming out of things, I can be able to advise and not just sit there. You know, it's like spreading the word, you know what I mean? So I think for me that was a deciding point. It was when I thought, okay, I cannot be serving, you know, more than the God that I know, you know, the God that I've been taught about, the God that's being read about to me. So
you know, I must say that when you were going through all of that, I was like, Aish, bye bye, my brother.
Well, I mean,
you know, I will love you. You know what I mean?
There's always something good though that comes out of anything. But that's
the greatness of God. Do you know what I mean? There's the greatness of God. The fact that, you know, I think through the experience that you have been through, you are able now to come here and to talk. Yeah. You know, like from a place of understanding, because I don't think that I would have been strong enough to go through what you did. You know, so that. I don't know, I would have gone through it and then come out of it, you know what I mean? So I think, like, as much as you probably think that you are the weaker one in the, you know, like in the family, and that's why this has happened to you, but I think you probably possess a strength that we don't have, and that's why, you know, like, God has allowed you. I don't think he didn't cause this to come upon you, but I believe that's why he has allowed you to go through this journey, because he believed that you're going to be strong enough to come out of it, and that your life is now going to minister to those who are going through the same things.
You know, and sometimes we think that we don't have a choice with things. And it's amazing how we actually do. But we'll only know after we know how strong we are from our experience that we know that we actually do have, we have many choices to make. Mm. And that we the only person that we need to rely on is him, and fully rely on him, and give him that power to work in our lives. Mm. I mean, the experience I took from that, the good that I took out from there is that I got to know myself, my own strengths. I got to know him. Mm-hmm. Being God, and I got to know about my culture. Actually, you know, I mean, there was a lot I didn't know about my culture. Yeah. There was a lot of I didn't know about where I come from and who was who and where was what, which was actually really interesting. Mm. So yeah, I mean, you know, but what I can say is just I'm here because of my Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
And tell me, Pelamin, I mean, like, what would you like to say to those who've probably been told that they have a calling, or who are actually probably deep into, you know, like ukthwasa right now, you know, and they do feel maybe inside that, you know what, maybe this is not for them. What would you suggest them that they do?
I suggest that it's very important that you talk about these things, that you don't keep these things to yourself. You cannot help yourself. You know, you cannot help yourself. You need to talk to different type of people who know what they are talking about.
And it's okay. And it's okay to ask, right?
Yes, it's definitely okay. In fact, you must ask.
Yeah.
You must ask, because if you just go through things, you'll just be pulled to one side. You'll be pulled to the other side, and then this one says it's wrong, and then you end up being confused and not knowing what you're gonna do, and you're just in the deep end. And just fortunately, some of us there were a lot of people we could talk to in the process, and there were a lot of people that were praying for me in the process too while talking to them. So it's very important that people talk about this thing before making any decisions and any choices. You talk about this thing. It's a very scary experience, life-threatening at times, and you really need to talk and get all the opinions that you need to get based on that before making the decision. You need to know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah. Well, Pelo, we thank God for your recovery.
Yeah. It's almost been a year now, I'm counting me being out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we thank God for your recovery, man. And really, we'll just keep praying for you that you know, like what Satan meant for the bad, that God is going to turn it for the good, so that Satan would wish that he had never even started.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Can just
it's
wait.
Like, oh man, he tricked me. Why did I even do that? I mean, this boy is just so much better now than even what it was before I even started putting this into motion. Pastor Dikhoza, there are some beautiful things, a lot of beautiful things about who we are. And so there must absolutely be a reason why God made us different.
It's true. I think in the book, God of Diversity, that's what I was trying to do, because I was a drama. It was a white church.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I joined Rhema, it was about 90%, nearly 100% white.
I
joined Rhema 8.
And now it's nearly 100% black.
Black.
And that's when you left. Yeah, like,
Now you can see that we're all struggling.
Yes,
I was trying to say while I was there, because I realized that myself as Utik, I was assimilating.
Mm-hmm.
Where you start preaching in English, you go to the township funerals, you find Utawsaz Ukulama hymns. Then Funugo Tutuza using English, you know, paying somewhere deep in it hits you, but this God, why is he making me to be anti me or anti black? Because we need to identify what God is against in our culture, so that we don't leave everything. Like he said, we need to know our lineage.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the book of Matthew talks about Jesus. It talks about where he comes from.
Yes.
So there's nothing wrong knowing where you're coming from.
Absolutely.
But sometimes we lose it there. So in that book, God of Diversity, I was trying to say that we can be together and create a situation where we can live a diverse life, where we can sing a Xhosa song and a Tsonga song. But if I go to a Xhosa church and you only sing Xhosa, that's not right. Because you are chasing me away, even though you don't saying it.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so this is what people are going through.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I guess all of us in whatever we do, you know, especially us creatives, we must try and write songs that are, you know, like that represent,
of course,
us and what our congregate, you know, like what our congregate,
yes,
you know, like represents. There's a song that I wrote called Urane. I'll play that on my next show,
yeah,
that I did, which is a great mixture
of
cultures, you know. In Xhosa, there's English in there, you know. There's is sing, which is our, you know, like, which is our rhythm,
yes,
but at the time it's also got the Western, you know, like the Western guitars,
yes,
and so on and so forth, because that is who we are. We are, South Africa is a rainbow nation, and everything that we do, whether it's in preaching, whether it's in singing, it should be representative of that.
Yeah, you know? There are people who are very accommodative of everybody.
Yes, and they want to learn about everything
black
else as
people
well.
People accommodate people. If white people will come to a church, we accommodate them.
Yes, no, you're
it's
so right.
It's only that other cultures, when you go to them, they want to swallow you. That's
or sometimes, you know, or sometimes we hide who we are because we think that, because we are inferior of who we are.
Yes.
And we think that others won't accept it, you know.
It's
like
also a low self-esteem issue.
Like you get, you know, like we went to America, you know, together with Opelo and my brother, you know, and probably 80% of our program is in English, and
yeah,
and it's Western, and we thought, okay, cool, well, because we don't want to really offend everyone,
yeah,
so we'll make it 80-20, so 20 will be African and then 8 will be Western. But when we did the Western stuff, we're like, man, we should have done more of this stuff. So it's sort of like we are a little or we are told to be inferior of who we are and be more of what people actually, you know, like of what other people are. But yet when we become ourselves, it's so well accepted.
Look at Juluka and Black Mambazo.
Yeah, Bonapa. And those are what?
Because
those are Grammy Award winners.
They stayed with African and they are known all over the world.
And that's because they became, I mean, like they were really just,
yeah,
who they are.
It will be very difficult to go to America and compete with them. With them.
Yeah, you're so
they,
right.
They are best at what they,
yeah,
do.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, like once you become who you are, and nobody can touch you because you are the best that, I mean, the best of you is who you are. I mean, I can go on about this forever. We've reached the absolute end of our show today, The Open Book. This was Tradition versus Religion. Actually, what I'm going to do, next week, next week Thursday is the 24th of September.
Yeah.
And I'd love to have you back again, Pastor Dick. But you're obviously going to see. But I'm going to try and do a show. If you follow me on Twitter and Instagram, I want to do a show on diversity because it is Heritage Day, and I think you're probably going to be busy, you know, like on that day. Maybe I might even just call you in.
I'll tell you what time. Maybe I could come just have 30 minutes and drive.
Yes. And I want to try and just get different people.
Yes.
You know, like who are living this Christian life, because I think there's a beauty in difference.
Oh, there is.
There is beauty in difference and in different people coming together but serving the one God. And
like
I think
when
it's
I was,
that
if I didn't go to REM, I wouldn't have known what I know. When you are in a church that is diverse, it's the best place to be. You learn things about yourself.
That is all right. Thank you so much to my guest, my brother Pelo Bala, and also Pastor Dick Khoza.
Thanks.
We love you guys and see you next week.
Okay, thank you very much.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com.